Bam, we're live. Good morning. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Awesome. Awesome. Good to have you back.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. Whew.
Did you just get the kids out?
Nah, man. I went to a Lil Wayne concert last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, where was that at?
It was out here. It was Des Moines.
What was the venue?
Wells Fargo Arena.
Is that big?
Yeah.
Like thousands, or was it small? Like
a small one. I want to say about 15,000 was there.
Oh, so still big. I mean, did you have a good seat, or did he look like this tall?
Yeah, we're in a suite. My wife owned the suite.
Oh, wow. Wow, how fun.
Man, I thought I was 21 all over again.
That's awesome. He's so good.
Yeah. He could perform.
And who else? Anyone else I know, like open for him or anything like that?
There we go.
Who opened for him? Anyone else I know?
Nah, he had a lot of up-and-comers. He had a rock band called Selfish Sons. Devante, some up-and-coming rapper named Devante. He had I don't know if you know this guy named Ron Browse. He had a couple of hits back in the late 2000s.
What kind of music?
He was rap.
Rap too. Browse, Ron Browse.
Yeah, Ron Browse. He's called the Ether Boy.
Lil Wayne is man, talk about a survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll never forget I saw him being interviewed once, and he basically, I mean, he confirmed what we already know about great people, but basically just obsessive. I heard he just walks straight anywhere he goes. He walks straight to his hotel room, sets up his mic on a pole, puts his recorder, and is just always just working it.
Yeah.
Working the bars, working the lyrics.
Yeah.
Just always perfecting. Yeah. Just kind of for the Hollywood scene, just kind of one of the realists. I mean, there's a lot of people that people like, but like he's the kind of guy like you probably want to be like the uncle to your kids and shit too. Just like a good dude with good values.
Right.
And just keeping it real. And he survived through all that, through keeping it real.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he lit like 6 blunts within 30 minutes.
Oh, on stage? Crazy. I do worry about I wonder if he's still doing the cough syrup thing. I did worry about him for a while. I go, God, I hope he doesn't do that. That can't be fucking good for your brain.
Yeah, I don't know. I know
he doesn't sound like he's doing it. When I hear him do interviews now, he seems a little more coherent.
Right. I know once he kind of came off of that, his face like bloomed up.
Yeah.
Got puffy and stuff. So yeah. I think he's in the clear now.
There's this crazy song he has. I think it's with Chris Brown and Nicki Minaj and Drake. And it's like a back and forth, and him and Chris Brown singing the hook, and him and Drake are talking about how they want to get with Nicki. And it's crazy because Drake's shit makes total sense. And Lil Wayne, you're like, wow. I mean, it's just wild rap. Yeah, it's just all over the place, but it's so good. But you're just like, I need to listen to these lyrics like 50 times.
Yeah. Yeah. He's authentic when he's performing. I mean, he gets the crowd going. You know, he says what he wants to say. And he's good, man.
How old is he? He's not spring chicken either, right?
I want to say probably mid-40s.
Let's see.
Yeah, he got to be like close to
41. 40. Oh, really? Younger than I thought. Yeah, wow, 41.
Oh, wow, no, I thought he was in the mid-40s. Okay. So he's not that far from me. All right.
Did he do any Diddy talk to the crowd?
Nah.
No, he didn't. He didn't. Because he's...
No Diddy. No Diddy.
No Diddy.
No Diddy.
Are you following the Diddy thing at all?
A little bit. A little bit.
I've been talking about it on the show, and someone the other day said, hey, why are you defending him? And it's not that I'm defending him. It's just that he settled a civil case with that lady for $1 million. But if she's claiming that he raped her, a civil case doesn't stop her from still suing him,
right,
for the rape, or at least for the state to put, press charges, right? You can't rape someone and then pay them and then it goes away. And so it's just like, I don't want to defend him, but like, I watched, like, seriously, I wasted, like, I watched 20, 25 minute videos on it, and there's no there. It's like, like, there's no, like Bieber's not like, okay, here's the condom he used on me. You know what I mean? There's just, and I don't care if he's gay or not, but there's no, like, no one has the dirt. And then they keep saying his house has all those, cameras in it, but I'm like, hey dude, agents tell all the big sports stars and all the big musicians, film all your sexual interaction that you have with people just in case someone says it was non-consensual. And so I just keep hearing all this stuff, and I'm like,
but
dude, he had $1 billion and a ton of girls, like, and then if you say that he's been raping you for 8 years, right there I'm like, 8 years?
Yeah.
So I'm just, do you have any thoughts on that case?
And
then Cat Williams is talking, but I think he's drank too much cough syrup. I'm like, dude, you're saying, like, I you don't seem like a credible witness to me.
You know, I think with Cat, it's like, he's one of those, he's one of those that's not willing to bend like how everybody else is.
Yeah. Right.
You know, he's willing to put his persona on the line.
Right.
Because he already turned down lump sum of money. So they're not going to offer him again. So he's willing to go out there and say what he wants to say.
Right.
And then plus he's smart, because in the age of podcasts now, the way he said it, look what it did for Shannon Sharp. Look what it did for him.
What did she, when he was on, that's who that is? That big, beautiful buff guy? That's Shannon Sharp?
Yeah, Shannon Sharp.
Oh, I didn't know that. He was a... Was he a wide receiver? Oh, tight end. Like back when I was a kid.
No. Mid-90s. He was drafted in 1990.
Was he a Charger?
No, Denver Bronco.
Oh, okay. Oh, no wonder. I didn't like him. I was a Raider fan.
Then with Diddy, I just say that, like, all the stuff that's going on with him could be karma from the Biggie Tupac stuff.
Oh, yeah. But like, they show me a video of him hanging out with Bieber, and it's supposed to be creepy, and I'm like, I don't see anything creepy about that at all. Like, so what? Or they're like, he's feeling for a wire, and I'm like, I don't even see, like, if someone wouldn't have told you he's feeling for a wire, you wouldn't have said he's feeling for a wire. I don't trust
you. You know how people are when they mix up videos and
yes. Yeah. Okay. And I don't care if him and Meek Mills are fucking. Like, I don't care. So what?
Yeah.
You know. So,
yeah.
I do worry about his sons a little bit. I don't want to see anyone's kids get fucking. Right.
I mean, when Homeland is raiding your house.
Yeah.
That has to be big.
Yeah. But they, I mean, look at, they sent the FBI over to fucking Mar-a-Lago to fuck with Trump. I mean, the powers that be are just completely out of fucking control. We were covering a story here, James, about how you see all these Boeing planes falling apart in the air now. And all these Boeing planes. So Boeing, basically all these planes have been falling apart that Boeing makes, right? And like, there's all this weird shit happening at Boeing. Like, they had a pile of 400 defective parts, and instead of cataloging them, they went missing, and the workers are like, oh shit, we think we installed them in the planes. And there's all this just like bad shit happening there. Well, the guy who's the whistleblower on it, he 6 days before he's supposed to testify, the guy kills himself. And there's just shit like that, and you're like, there's just so much weird shit going on.
Yeah. Supposedly.
Supposedly, yeah. So much weird shit. Or like, I mean, I don't know if you followed the Epstein thing, but he died in jail, and there's the cameras were turned off and the guards were on a break. I mean, it's just like, dude, what?
Yeah.
Guys in their mid-40s. How old are you?
I'll be 40 next month. I mean, in 2 months.
And you just ran, was it the U.S. Championships or World Championships?
USA Masters, USATF Masters indoor, 60 meters.
And so if when you ran that, the winner of that's the fastest master in the United States for the 60 meters.
Yeah.
And how'd you do?
Got third.
Damn.
Third place, first my first track meet since I was 18.
Tell me about it, the details. So you go there. What time do you get there in the morning?
So I got there on Thursday afternoon. Drove. It was in Chicago, so it was about a 5.5 hour drive from here. And got there, checked in, got my bag.
You feel so good Thursday in the drive. You get out of the car, you feel good.
No. My hips were tight. My groins were tight. So I get there and where I had to check in at is the venue. So I decided to go ahead and get my stuff and, you know, warm up a little bit, have a little, you know, walk through or whatever.
You and by then, yourself?
Yeah, by myself. And then Friday is supposed to be the qualifier race. So we all there, we all warming up, and it's weird because everybody has to warm up on the same blocks, the same lanes. So you have to wait. So that's an adjustment. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Do you mean as opposed to just going there and they're like, Mr. Townsend, this is your lane. You have 30 minutes to warm up and check out the track. Okay.
Right. Your own blocks, your own setup. You know, every time you come back, you got to reset it up because somebody set it up to their liking. So I had to set it back to my liking. Right.
And what does that mean? You're liking the distance between the front block and the back block, or
correct?
Okay.
Right.
Look at me. I've never even seen blocks, and I'm already smart enough to know that. I'm like a professional trainer. Okay.
Right. So we get there on Friday. We're about to go race, and they say, "Hey, we're just going to move you guys all the way to the finals." And we're like, "Oh, we don't get to run." And they're like, "No, we just it's nine of you guys. We got nine lanes. We're just going to move you to the finals." We're like, "Oh, okay." So,
and that kind of sucks because you've already made the effort. Like it's kind of like going to a jiu-jitsu match and your kid only gets one match and you paid $150. You sectioned off the whole day.
Right.
And you're planning on getting in three matches.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So we have to race. So this race on Friday was supposed to be at 7:04 PM. Mm-hmm. So we have to race 9:47 on Saturday morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, oh, okay, you know. So now I have to switch my mental. I gotta get real sweaty. I gotta get real warmed up. I gotta warm up my quads, my groins, my hamstrings. I gotta really, 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 really warm up. I gotta take as many starts in the blocks as possible. So I do that. We get out there. And
that's how you get warm. Is that the only thing you do to get warm?
Yeah, for 60, because it's 60 meters is all about the start.
Okay.
It's all about that start. And then how'd you build from the start to 20, 20 to 40, 40 to 60. Right. And we get out there, good race. I get third, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Third out of nine. All nine of you go at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right, I could do this. 30 minutes later, I'm like, wow, my groins, my quads, my hamstrings, you know, my adductors, my hips, everything is sore. And so for me, I just sat there for like a whole hour, just, you know, watching everybody else, but contemplating. I'm like, why am I sore? Why am I this sore? And I'm like, all right, one, you know, I'm 39, I'm pushing 40. Two, I haven't went this fast just for a race, right? I haven't ran this fast. I haven't tapped into that speed in so long, but it let me know that, like, hey, that gear is still there, but I have to switch my muscle memory back to running. Mm. Because for so long, I went from football to boxing, to CrossFit, to Olympic weightlifting, powerlifting. So everything with weightlifting compacted me to this, right? To be so tight. But now it's like going into that running to where, yes, I'm powerful on a power clean, but the powerfulness on a power clean is not as powerful as it is for a 0 to 60.
What do you mean not as powerful?
So a 0 to 60 is your power is going from 0 to 60 in, 7 seconds. You okay. Gotta hold that power. Power clean, I'm just maybe a second.
Bam.
Right.
Hey, what was your time?
The time was 7.2.
And when you come out of the blocks, is that the fastest you've done it, you think?
No.
What's the fastest in your life you've done 60? Do you know?
6.6.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the soreness, do you think any of it could have been just the fact that you had probably the largest adrenaline rush also that you've had in a long time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's when I was running it, I was like, okay, it's there. It's just that I have to switch up my training and train my body into running shape, into sprinter shape. Like anybody can sprint, but when you're going against people and you need to tap into that gear, that's different. You know, I could get out there on the track and run 60s all day, right? Because it's just me. But if I got me, you, Hiller and everything, we going hard, that gear is different than it being the gear where it's just by myself.
Yeah. Did you get a crazy adrenaline rush when you got in the blocks and there, you guys are, yeah.
Yeah. I felt myself shaking and I was like, why am I shaking? Why are my feet shaking? Like,
wow.
That adrenaline is, it's real.
Like you were in a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did the other dudes look visually to you? Like when you saw the 8 other guys, were you like, oh fuck, these are specimens?
No. I mean, it's weird because everybody is older. I probably was the guy out there. They were like, damn, you know, most people was like, yo, you play football? You look like a linebacker. You know, they're like, yeah, you look like a linebacker. Like, you, did you play? And, and I had to tell him. And they was like, oh, okay. He's like, man, because wide receiver, really?
Did you outweigh all the guys?
No. Uh-uh.
No. There were some big dudes, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That, with Masters, it's like, you go to the CrossFit Games, you see these guys in the 40 to 44, 44 to 49. You're like, man, these guys look good. It was the same way, the guys in the older division.
Yeah.
Yeah, like chiseled out, and you're like, damn.
Like they didn't age, like they're not aging.
Right.
Hey, what about, why didn't you bring any family? Were you the only dude there that was by yourself?
Yeah.
Was that lonely? Is it extra challenge?
No, not for me, because this is something that I want to do. And by my girls being in gymnastics and knowing that they need to focus and knowing that they have gymnastics practice every day, it kind of like takes that away. Now, when my wife is not there with me, that's different.
you would have loved to have had her there.
Yeah. Well, my wife, she's her being a financial advisor, she's very busy, very busy.
So your dad, do you feel sorry for yourself at all when you're there by yourself? Like, do you?
No.
You're just like, I wonder, do you know why the other guys do it? Did you get a chance to talk to the guys?
Yeah. It's something to keep them going. It's something to keep them going. It's something that they did while they were younger, and even though they're out of that, elite stage, Masters is elite for them. It's elite for us now. To be the master. You see the records, you're like, oh, okay. The record in the 60 is 6.9. It's not as easy to get that record, even though I feel as if I could get there with the training, but this is an American or a world record. So when it's going into track and it's USATF, it's not just gonna take 6 months or a year. Usain Bolt trained for so many years to run 9 seconds. You got to train those amount of years to run to get an American or world record. So it may take me 2-3 years to get that American to world record.
And is that the goal? Is the goal you're gonna start tailoring your training to to get that record?
Yeah.
Is this a yearly event?
Yep.
Do you qualify? Did this qualify you for another event, like a world's event?
It qualified me for outdoors. I could go ahead and move on to do the 100, which is in Sacramento, July 18th, and then you can once you go ahead and place and you put and you podium, you can go to Worlds, which is Worlds is right after the Olympics, which is in Sweden.
this event, what's the difference between indoor and outdoor? What's the difference in running
60 and 100 meters?
But any difference? Like, why do they have indoor and outdoor? Like, who cares if there's a roof? Why does that matter?
Well, indoors, you know, indoor track has a special track.
Uh-huh.
So it's a 200 meter track.
Uh-huh.
So if you're running a 400, you got to do it 2 times.
Okay.
200, you just have 1 time around the track.
And you get different times because of the turns.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then indoor is like winter season.
Okay.
So they have an indoor.
Right? What's traditionally thought of as faster, indoor times or outdoor times? I mean,
when you look at the guys that's running 9 seconds in 100,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you have the guys that's running the fastest time. You know, world record is like 6.4 in the 60.
Damn.
Outdoors faster. Usain Bolt, 9.58, right? Imagine if he ran the 60. So that's 40 more meters.
Mm-hmm.
That's 40 more meters to get 9 seconds.
Mm.
So with the 6.4 to 40 meters from 60 to 100, that's 6.4. That'd give you like a low 10 seconds in 100. But then you take Usain Bolt's record at 9.58. You take that back to the 60. He probably ran like a, what, 6 flat?
Yeah, crazy.
You see what I mean? And then,
yeah.
But the great thing about with the 100 is it allows you to open up even more to tap into that extra gear.
Oh, okay.
Longer, okay. Right?
Okay. Okay.
To whereas the 60, 0 to 60, man, is boom. You get.
Do you even reach your fastest running speed in 60 meters?
No.
No. Hey, do you make it to the turn?
Mm-mm.
You don't. So no. One, you don't even make it to the turn. It's just no. It's just all straight.
All straight.
Damn.
All straight. Yep.
What was the winning time?
It was 7.13.
Oh my God. So you were 7/100ths of a second.
Yeah.
So you and the other two guys came across together.
Yeah. 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 It's that fast, man. It's that fast. And it's interesting. It's fun. It's fun.
So you're on the starting blocks and it's a gun. Like in And when you go, do you know right away whether you got a good start? Like if you're in a good, like how soon before you know, like, oh shit, I'm doing good, or oh, I shit the bed.
You'll see out of your peripherals.
Yeah.
Right. It's all about feel. And then it's all about see. Right. Even though it's always tunnel vision, but you can still see who's on your left and your right when you're running. Right. And then you'll also hear the footsteps too.
Oh yeah.
You can hear the footsteps, but. Yeah.
How did you feel on the go?
I felt good. I felt really good. Like a lot of people hit me up, was like, man, I ain't know you still had a start like that. I was like, bro, I ain't even know that either. and that's why it makes me feel good going forward, because I'm like, all right, I'm, you know, 21 years, and I'm like, I'm still there. Like, even though I always knew I was explosive because of Olympic weightlifting, but to know that I could get out there on the track and still put out that force,
yeah,
like that in the start.
Yeah.
Just let me get more training to take that 20 to that 60. You know, I'll be in tip-top shape.
Oh, and what did you see at the start? Do you remember what you saw, like, from in your periphery? Were you where were the other two guys?
My right.
Oh, okay. And did you know? Did you know ahead of? Does everyone know? Hey, that's the slowest guy. That's the fastest guy.
With the times that you put in.
Yeah.
You know, your preliminary times that you put in.
And did the guy who was supposed to win?
Yeah. He won.
Oh, so he had the fastest, like, submission time.
Right.
And could you look at his body and be like, oh, fuck, that guy's fast?
No. Not at all. Uh-uh.
No.
Just, I mean, he looked like he had the body of like a guy that comes to a CrossFit class every day. You know, that comes to a 5 p.m. class, and, you know, he just looked regular. Like, that's why, like, you could never judge a book by its cover, man. You know, here I am out there, you know, all chiseled up, muscled up. But here is a guy that's just like, you know, he's just nice and slim. You know, he little tone to him, but he wasn't, you know, muscly. And those muscle guys, you would think are boom.
Like, they're going to explode out of the blocks.
Right.
What were you guys wearing? What do you wear?
You can wear whatever you want. I wore my compression shorts, and then I bought a USA TF tank top, and that was it.
But it's so tight. Nothing's flapping around.
Right.
Everything is on your skin.
Right. So basically, you could be out there running in your drawers.
Damn.
Yeah.
What was this? Do you remember the slowest time?
Slowest time was 7.8.
And did you at any point think you were going to win? Like, as you approached the finish line, do you know, you're like, oh shit, this, I just got to lean forward. I got to dive here.
Yeah. Like the last 10 meters, like I said, I was trying to kick into that gear, but my hamstrings was telling me, nah, not yet.
Oh, really? Wow. There's a feedback loop like that.
Yeah. It's there. So that's what I was saying. When after the race, I was sitting back and just like assessing everything. And I was like, I'm right there. Like, I'm right there. A little bit more training, more hard training.
Switch. So up, you have to rev stuff faster. It, like, if I'm gonna use a car metaphor, you need to get, if you have to shift, or if the ideal shift is at 8,000 RPMs, you need to get to that 8,000 RPMs faster.
Faster.
Hey, and that other gear, what's it feel like? Is it like a higher step or a higher turnover rate? Like, is there a way you could explain
a higher turnover rate?
Higher
turnover rate. Yeah. It's like a punch. Like, punch it. Yeah. So like you're saying, if you're driving a car, punch it.
Yeah.
Punch it. But you know, that it start there, my
hand. Yeah.
Hey. And I was like, okay. But being an athlete, I know I can get there. So now I know, all right, going into my training, more accessory work on the hamstrings, more accessory work. More accessory work on the glutes, more accessory work on abductors, more accessory work on the groins, hip flexors, all that. Quads, hamstrings, more accessory work.
And what's that look like? What's accessory work look like?
So it will be glute hand raises, mid to low. So full to mid, leg curls, hamstring curls, floor bridges, BOSU ball bridges.
Bridges is like you're on your back, like you're doing that thing that people do, like in that, like that humping motion. You're on your back and you have your feet on the ground and your knees bent and you're like thrusting forward like this.
Like hip thrust, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Weights.
Yeah, okay.
That. But the sport way is, if I'm laying on my back, I got one leg up, my knee must stay in line with the foot that's on the floor.
Okay.
The knee that's bent, right? And the foot could either be on the floor or on a BOSU ball.
Okay.
And so, but that leg that's up, the knee stays in line. So my hands are down and I'm just driving my hips up while I'm pushing my foot into the BOSU ball.
Do you do that with weight or just no weight?
No weights.
No weights. Just do it. Right. Just the range of motion.
Right. 10 on that leg and then switch. 10 on that lead. You know, and then you could do your fire hydrants, your scorpions, you know, with a band around your knees. You know, you could do your fire hydrants, you know, your your leg swings, you know, all that type of stuff.
And are you going to go to Sacramento?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Will you go there by yourself too?
No. This time, it'll be like a family trip this time, you know.
God, if I'm around, I'm going to bring my boys to that. That would be so cool to watch that.
Yeah, that'd be dope, man. That'd be dope.
Hey, on a side note, I remember 6 months ago, Dave Castro has a little girl who's in high school. She's a freshman. And he had always told me, hey, man, when she was younger, she's a good runner. And then he went on a run with her, and he's like, hey, man, this is like 6 months ago. He's like, she beat me in the mile run. I go, oh, what'd she run? He goes, 7 minutes. I was like, oh, damn. He's like, yeah, I'm going to work on my running. I don't like her beating me. Mm-hmm. And then 4 months ago, she ran her first track meet, and she ran like a 6:50.
Wow.
And then 3 months ago, she ran like a 6:02. And then last month, he told me she ran a track meet, and she ran 5:45.
Wow.
Yeah. So in 6 months, she's gone from 7 minutes to 5:45. So she actually has a track meet tomorrow that's right by my house, and I'm going to go watch. And I'm like, hey, dude, you're not catching her. And he goes, uh-uh. He's like, that window closed.
Yeah.
But it's so cool to hear. I mean, she's probably, his daughter is God, man. She's probably 5'8", 100 pounds. I mean, she's just like a bean pole.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's cool. It's cool to hear running stories and people working on that. And it's cool to hear stories about people's kids. But then on your end, here you are getting back into it. I wonder what your daughters are going to think when you're taking your daughters to Sacramento.
Yeah. They are on the Caitlin Clark high now.
Who's Caitlin Clark?
You don't know who Caitlin Clark is?
No, she a runner.
Basketball player from Iowa.
Oh, I heard that there's two female basketball players who are, Yeah. I've seen her around. Yeah. I heard there's two female basketball players who are like really invigorating the sport.
Yeah. She's doing marvelous things for women's basketball.
Martin. Why is she so good? What is she doing? Is she a 3-pointer? What is she?
Yeah, she broke all the records for men and women in points. She set the record for most made 3-pointers in the tournament. I think it was like 497. She set the most points in both men and women.
Hey, you think this is Steph Curry trickling down? You think that like 5 years? Yeah, it is, right? So 5 years ago, Steph Curry explodes on the scene and changes the game. And now it's fine. All these kids were watching it. And so they're like, fuck, I'm going to become a great 3-point shooter.
Yeah, to the T. I mean, you know, you rarely got anybody that want to, you know, drive to the hole and get an and-one. Now it's all about, you know, you dribble, step back, shoot from the free throw line. I mean, from the 3-point line. You know, step back, shoot from the logo. It's yeah, man. Steph Curry has made a huge impact on the game of basketball as far as how it's played than what Michael Jordan did.
And what humans are capable of, right?
Right. 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 Cause you know, anybody could go ahead and you know, dribble the ball good and be able to drive to the hole and get a bucket, right? You can find 50 to 100 of those guys and girls, but you could probably find 5, maybe 10 really good 3-point shooters.
That are
really
just
good shooters at that.
Yeah. Yeah. She's 6 feet tall, 155 pounds, 22 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And taking over the world, man. They on CNBC, which my wife watch all the time because of her job. They did like a Clarkonomics about like how much money that she's generating for TV, for the university, for herself, with the whole NIL deal and everything. And Yeah, she's amazing, man.
In high school, she set the single point scoring record with 42 points in a triple overtime. Holy shit.
Yeah, her high school is just out here. She's from my area.
In high school, her average game was 32.6 points a game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Is there a backstory on her that's worth knowing? Like, was her dad a professional basketball player or a mom?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think her dad, they were, like being out here in Iowa, there's really, in the Midwest period, there's really not that many things you could put your kids into, but like basketball, track, or gymnastics, right? So with her coming up, she had to play, you know, AAU basketball with boys.
Oh,
there really was no girl travel team.
So we got a little bit of the Serena Venus story going.
Yeah.
You play to the level that you play with.
Yeah. Yeah.
During the Big Ten tournament, Clark surpassed Steph Curry. Steph Curry's record for the most 3-pointers in a single season by any Division I player. That's what you were saying. She beat both men and women records.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
And points. Yep. She had 30. I'm gonna say 3,500 points, or 36, something like that. Like yeah. I want to say 3,600 points. She ended her career with.
I wonder if she's gonna be able to. Affect the she's not in the WNBA, she's still in college.
So the draft for the WNBA is Monday.
Okay, so there's tons of hype.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's going to be able to put seats in the butts and seats. Hey, let me ask you a crazy question. Could she play men's basketball? No.
I'm pretty sure she could hold her own, but I mean, ask me that in 3 years.
Okay.
To where her game develops more. It's faster feet. You know, she's going against grown women that have experience in their professional league. You know, ask me that in 3 years.
The WNBA is quite the kind of fascinating organization, because it is not doing well. Like, if you look at the economics of it, man, it would not survive without the NBA. It's just purely subsidized by men's basketball. And I don't have a problem with that, but I don't know how long that can go on. It's like,
but
shit.
Now,
especially for how hard those girls work. They work so hard
and then
10 years and you still got no money when you get out the other side. And I'm not saying that they deserve it. I'm just saying, how does it sustain itself?
Right. Now, in the last 2 years, because of the rise of this one player, WNBA, you know, the viewership going forward is projected to be higher now because
good.
Of one player. Yeah.
Awesome. And then probably that their whole game is going to change too, right? In the next 10 years, there'll be 5 more girls just like her.
Yes.
Yeah. And make the game more exciting, because there's threats from more places.
Right. Right. Because even though she's leaving from college, there's a freshman in college now called Juju Smith from USC, who broke.
Oh yeah, that's the name I heard.
Yeah, who broke Caitlin Clark freshman most points record as a freshman.
Juju Smith?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a guy. I didn't get a girl. Wait, I wonder how you spell Juju. I got Juju Smith-Schuster.
No, I'm sorry. Not him. Not Juju Smith.
Someone will say it in the comments too, if you don't.
Yeah. It's J-U-J-U something. I forgot her last name.
I'll just type in Juju.
Well, Juju played for USC too. I said Juju Smith. He played for USC too, wide receiver.
Damn, he's popular as all get out.
Oh yeah, he's big on
Juju Watkins. Is that what it is?
Yes, Watkins. Right, Watkins.
Oh yeah, she's 18, 6'2". Okay, so she's 4 years younger. Yeah. Holy shit, dude, she's a kid with fucking almost. She has over 700,000 followers on Instagram,
and plays like her game reminds me of Carmelo Anthony.
Wow,
she's so polished. As an 18-year-old, so polished. So you got, you know, they're doing good, man. They're doing good. It's going to be exciting. Like, she's projected to go number one, right? So Indiana Fever is supposed to take her. So 36 of their 39 games are going to be televised.
Wow.
Because of Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah. This is a big girl.
See, yeah. Yeah. See, that move right there reminds me of Carmelo Anthony. Yeah.
She got the man bun. I approve of that.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone plays with a ponytail. That's crazy.
Good pass.
Oh, yeah. God, the...
Yeah.
I'm gonna get in trouble for playing this. Or else I'd just play the whole thing. Hey, when James, when you're out there, what shoes did you wear for your race?
Nike.
And are they cleats? Are they special shoes?
Nike spikes.
And are they new, or is it something you dusted off from back in the day?
Nah, they're new. Yeah. You always gotta run in new spikes. Cause they change every year, right? They always try to make the spikes lighter. You know, the lighter you are, the faster you're able to move, right? The heavier your shoe, the slower you are.
Come January, do you think you'll have made the adjustments for the outdoor event, U.S. Championships in Sacramento? Will you have made the adjustments that you want to make?
For sure. For sure.
And so you'll be able to, and that adjustment is to get to the final gear faster.
Yep. Yeah. And to be able to sustain it.
Is there a spot on in the race that you want that? Is it like at 30 meters? Or are you like, okay, it has to be by 30 or 40?
It has to be by 40 to 50. You know, it's those last like 10 to 20 meters of hitting it, because your dry phase, right? You're getting out your 10, your 20, you're starting to build your 30, your 40. All right, let's kick it in. You know, that's the area to where you always see even runners when they are running 100,
mm-hmm.
they always pulling their hamstring around 50 to 60 meters.
Mm. Oh, when they're going to that other gear?
When they're going to the other gear, yeah.
What about weight? Did you try to lose weight before the event?
Yes, and I got down to 204.
And was that the goal?
Nah, my goal was to get down to like 198.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
And what's the heaviest you've weighed in the last year?
210.
Okay. Do you think that weight loss, those 6 pounds, it caused you to lose any energy or explosiveness?
No.
So you felt good?
Yeah. I just know the lighter I am, the faster, right? You know, I never ran... Never really ran at 200 plus. I always was like, you know, in college, I was 175, 185. You know, NFL, I was, you know, putting on more muscle mass. So, you know, 190, 195. So
could you even get to 195?
Yeah, I could get there.
Really?
I think I can, yeah.
Damn.
If I was doing this for Olympic weightlifting meet, I would compete in 89. So that would be like, you know, 198. 196.
But when you stepped on the platform, you'd be heavier, right?
The day of to lift?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hydrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, are you watching UFC tomorrow?
Who's fighting tomorrow?
It's UFC 300. It's the craziest fucking card ever, dude.
What's the Colombian guy?
It's the Brazilian guy, Alex Pereira, and Jamal
Brazilian
Hill.
Guy. Brazilian guy, yeah.
But dude, even listen, the early prelims, the very first fight at 3 o'clock is Davidson Figueroa versus Cody Garbrandt. And then it's Bobby Green. And then it's Jessica Andrade. And then it's Jalen Turner. I mean, every single fight could be a main card fight.
Yep.
It's absolutely fucking nuts.
Who's Andrade fighting?
She's fighting Marina Rodriguez. That's the chick that's like all torso.
Yeah.
She got like these little short legs. She got a weird body. And then, crazy and striker.
And then Holly Holm is fighting at
Kayla Harrison. Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Calvin Kattar's fighting Aljamain Sterling. Aljamain Sterling's going up a weight class for the first time.
I don't like that for him. Especially how he lost to Sugar.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that fight again.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that for Aljamain. I don't like that for him.
Anyway, go ahead.
Because he didn't really dominate in his weight division anyway.
I don't know, dude.
He really didn't.
Like, he got a bad rap, I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm just emotional. He'd been on the show a couple times, so maybe I'm just emotionally attached to him, but I really like him. I thought that I thought the fans were mean to him after what happened with Jan.
Yep,
and then he came back and he represented. So
he destroyed Jan in that.
Yeah. All right, hey dude, thanks for coming on. Love seeing you again. Great hearing your story, and talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me, bro.
All right. Ciao.
Yep.
James Townsend, crazy, so awesome. Darian,
what's up, brother?
What's up, dude? I just caught this bug walking around on my computer screen.
You didn't have to cancel the party on my behalf.
Oh no, this is good. I was feeling him out to see if he was getting excited for the fights tomorrow, but he's his life's so busy. He has these two amazing daughters, and he's running a gym, and so he wasn't up to snuff. But I was thinking about keeping him on, but
yeah,
I made the quick assessment. Mm.
Well, that's all right. How you been, man? Oh, you got me on here late, huh? You was 45 minutes in before I jumped on, huh?
Yeah, let you sleep in a little bit. Where are you? What are you doing? Are you headed to the gym? Are you headed to the salon? Where are you headed?
To the barbershop, yeah. I just posted up. I'm just outside the coffee shop.
This is the best signal you've had in a while.
Really?
You look good. Hey, you won your last fight.
You're
Let's badass go. Dude,
I know. Yeah,
I wonder if I can pull that up. Let me see.
It was good. You got to watch it?
Yeah, hell yeah. You sent me, it was on Vimeo. I got to see it.
Oh yeah, it was a clinic. I think the dude
let me see if I can turn this volume off and play this for the where the fuck is the volume on Vimeo? How does this shit end up on Vimeo? Why not YouTube?
Dude, the guy who recorded it sent it to me on that, and he was like, here's the video if you want to have it. And I was like, oh, cool. I'll just keep that.
Let me see if I can share screen.
But yeah, this dude is, the dude before I fought him had 12 first round finishes. 12. Oh, but when I fought him.
This guy's had 12 first round finishes.
That guy, the one underneath me that's dying.
Good job keeping his hips far, cross facing the body.
You know, it's just.
Round is this? This is the second round.
Yeah, I think so.
And you won your fight before this too, right?
Yep.
Was that a boxing match or was that also MMA?
Also MMA, and it was against a guy who was 15-4 or something. This guy was 12-4, and I beat a guy who was 15-4 before.
I'm gonna ask a really dumb question. Is this an easy fight?
It was a super easy fight. It was a super easy fight because all he relied on, because he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, so all he relied on was the jiu-jitsu. And I was like, what? No way. Slow to get up there. And you can see here it comes. It's the end of it. It's the end of it. Eat.
Hey, that body shot, is that what did it?
The body shot softened him up. The uppercut right after the body shot was the one that did it.
Did you feel?
Go ahead.
Did you feel good about that body shot? Like when you threw that, do you have even a moment to celebrate? Like you're like, yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, it was solid. No, I didn't. Well, I was going to. I thought he was going to stay up, but I thought he was going to kind of like cringe on the body shot. So I only threw that uppercut as I was exiting it out. But the uppercut was hard enough to drop him, I guess. And so I just said, well, I'm going to finish it.
Hey, are you wondering at this point why the ref doesn't stop it?
Well, I mean, it's a professional fight. You know, he's still moving his hands, you know. He was still moving his hands.
I mean, look when he goes down. I mean, you're not even anywhere near him when he goes down. He surrenders.
He did surrender.
Right?
He did.
That's it. I'm done. I'm good.
Yeah.
Dude, he went to his back like right away.
I know.
Like a baby.
And it was crazy because I finished that fight with him.
Yeah.
And I'm fighting at 185 right there. And I finished that fight with him and he goes and wins two more fights in the first round.
Oh,
we fought. Already fought two more times and won two more times in the first round.
Submissions.
He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. And
okay, so that's good for you. And you want that, right?
Yeah, because all we freaking did was like, okay, you're a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Then we're going to make sure we stop the takedown. We don't let you get your hips under ours. And then we're just going to punch you in your face.
And then that basically tells everyone like, hey, dude, I'm in the fucking wrong league.
Period.
I belong in the fucking UFC.
Period.
Like, you know? There's other guys out who are just cleaning people up, and I just fucking destroyed them.
You know what I mean? And that's intentionally. Okay, so I don't know if you know this, but I have another fight set May 10th.
Okay.
4 weeks. Okay. That fight will be in St. Louis, Missouri. And guess who will be there the day after? The UFC will be fighting May 11th in UFC in St. Louis, Missouri. So, hopefully, because we fight at a casino, hopefully, as much as Dana White loves casinos,
yeah,
he goes to that fight. And if I can just put on the same clinic, it's an undefeated opponent. The opponent got all finishes. They're trying to cake him up as a prospect because he trains with Joaquin Buckley.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And so if I can just paste him up the same way, Dana, send me the contract, Dana. Come on.
Hey, is this your Instagram at 19?
Yep.
Darian. Okay. I'm just putting it down there for people.
Yeah,
to see.
Yeah.
Hey, so this guy's going to come in hot.
Hot. He's going to come in hot, you know, but I think the difference is he's fought in a lot of opponents that have been.
What's his name? I don't see him. What's his name?
Max Chorov. I think it's C-H-O-R-I-V.
Max
Chorov. C-H-O-R-I-E-V. Yeah.
Oh, is he an Asian dude?
I think he's like Mongolian. So, yeah, Asian.
Okay.
Whatever Genghis Khan was, that's who he – that's the...
that's so funny. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, he quotes a lot of Genghis Khan.
Damn.
Yeah. So –
Oh, this is going to – you guys are going to have a fucking war, huh?
War. And – but the only downside – and there's no downside – like, I'm just saying the only downside. There's no downside. But this is the first fight since the UFC where I'm going to be fighting at 170. So,
Shit.
Yeah, I've been fighting at 185. I've been walking at 206. So it's a deep cut. And I mean, I haven't been walking at a fat 206 either. I've been walking at a beefcake. You know what I'm saying?
Beefcake. Hey, so, do you didn't have an agent, I don't think, last time I talked to you.
No, I didn't. But now I'm signed with Jackson Wink Management. So it's Jackson Wink in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Holly Holm trains and where
like after the fight. That's after the fight. What do you weigh there?
That's after.
Are you over 200 there?
Yeah, I'm probably 200 right there, maybe 199, but probably 200.
Yeah, you look good. And here you're 185.
I'm 186 on the dot.
Oh, this is a big dude you fought.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He was a big dude. But I sent a right hand down the middle and he didn't really want any of it.
No.
Yeah. It's terrible. But
is this 206, Darian?
Yeah, that's 202. Yeah, that's 202 right there.
Damn, look at your arms.
You know, like go down right here. Like the one where I'm beating the bag.
Yeah.
That's 206, Darian.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't not a lot of fat content on that 206.
No, you're gonna go down 35 pounds from that,
dude. I know, it's been a struggle right now. I've managed to get down 4 weeks out. I've managed to get down my lowest I've gotten down to right now is 195.7. So I managed to get down that low. Although I did wake up at 200 pounds this morning, but you know, I had to rehydrate and feel my body. I had a hard week of training. But I'm going to start fixing some calories around and we're going to get there.
Hey, does your agent somehow contact the UFC and be like, hey, dude, look, you guys are going to be there the next day. Send someone over to watch this fight.
That's what I'm talking to him about right now. I'm talking to him like, hey, they're going to be in town. You might as well just see if, you know, it doesn't even have to be Dana White. See if Sean Shelby will pop his head over there real quick, you know. And
yeah, yeah.
The matchmaker, you know. What and what would be a fairy tale story, bro? Would be the, it's not gonna happen, but what would be fairy tale for me is I go in here and I just knock this dude out, right?
Yep, yep.
Not, don't get a scratch on me. Some reason they fucking have somebody May 11th drop out the day right there, and I just step in like, all right, bet, I'll do it. Let's go. Let's go. We'll fight right now.
Hey, that's the day of, so your fight's May 10th?
May 10th, yeah.
Hey, I want to see who's on that card real quick. Let me see.
On the UFC card?
Yeah, May 11th.
Derek Lewis is headlining it.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, this is all big. Chase Hooper fights. Oh, these are all big boys too on this card. Fuck.
Yeah, big dogs. It's okay. I can. The day after, I'll probably be able to fight at like 200 pounds, 205.
Who else is fighting on that card? Alex Caceres. Remember we did a show with him?
Yeah. I haven't seen him fight in a while.
I think he may have lost his last fight, but I think he might be the oldest, the longest tenured UFC fighter that there is.
Really? Yeah, because I was like, I haven't seen him fight in a real minute.
Are you planning on watching the fights tomorrow?
I am planning on that. I won't be able to watch the prelims, which, you know, kind of a bummer because I would love to watch those. Because
why can't you watch them?
Because I'll have to be sparring. I'll be sparring tomorrow, so I have to get that out.
Well, I'm going to show you something crazy in a second. Okay, so he's fighting Shad Woodson. Look at, he lost to Chickadees. That dude's a savage. He lost him in did that go to decision? How do I know? It says round three at 5 minutes. Does that mean it went to decision?
Yeah, it says unanimous next to the decision. You see that right up
there?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Got it. Damn, dude. How is he? Man, fuck, dude.
Hey, that fight against Sean Woodson is going to be fucking live, though. Like, him fighting Sean Woodson is going to be crazy because Sean Woodson's a good fighter, especially at, you know, what is he at? 145, right?
145? I think so. Let me see what it says. If it says what, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I can't tell. Hey, but you know what's crazy, dude? Alex has to fight so many fucking good dudes.
I know.
And he just can't fucking get like the recognition for it because he just isn't like fighting the best dude.
But the guy. Yeah,
the guy. But he has to fight Sean Woodson, who's 11-1. He had to fight Giga.
He
had to fight Sadiq. I mean, fuck, dude. He beat up Chase Hooper. Look at him.
Yeah, but Chase, that was a clinic. He beat the dog out of Chase Hooper. And I think they just gave Chase Hooper that fight too early. I think that was actually Chase Hooper's only like second fight in the UFC. And he just railed him.
Dude, this guy has so many fucking pro fights, it's out of fucking control. Listen to some of these names he's fought. Pettis, Uriah Faber, dude, he's been around for Yair Rodriguez, Crone Gracie, Chase Hooper, Sungwoo Choi, Sadiq Youssef. What?
He beat Crone Gracie.
No, it says he lost here.
Really?
Yeah, rear naked choke. I know. I thought he beat Crone too. Crone's a weird dude.
He is a strange, strange guy. He didn't make the he didn't stay in the UFC that long. I probably only seen like two fights by him.
He comes across like a dick. I mean, I don't know him, but he just comes across like a dick.
To be honest, and even though, you know, they said he was a nice guy, so does Roy Gracie. Roy Gracie did that. I felt like that too.
The original guy from UFC 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, from he UFC came across 1, like a dick too, totally.
I feel like he was like just a jerk. I was like, dang, this is terrible. But I guess when you're back in the 90s and you have to fight each other and you get to step on each other's nuts, I guess you got to come off like an a-hole.
Adam Blakesley, Jim Miller's probably the longest tenured guy. He fights this weekend. Yeah, he's been around forever too.
That's true. Yeah, that's probably true. He is the long. He's gonna get. I say he gets knocked out by Bobby Green. That's just me. I know that Jim Miller's a dog and he's a tough fighter. I say Bobby Green just has too much, you know, skill on him, and he's just gonna. I mean, Bobby Green has a right hand from freaking out of nowhere. Remember what he did with Grant Dawson and just pow, popped
yeah.
him? Yeah. I mean, that was the first round.
Didn't he end up fighting Khabib?
No, he fought Muhammad.
Islam? Oh,
yeah, Islam.
Islam, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he fought Islam Makhachev and on
short notice?
6 days, yeah. And it was just a clinic. No, but do you remember, did you see the...
You know, I invited Bobby Green to come on here, and he said if I paid him $1,500.
He said, I'm about my money. You know, did you see what happened with him and Jalen Turner fought him?
Remind me. I'm sure I did. I love Jalen Turner.
Jalen Turner knocked him out from standing up. The ref didn't call it, and he let Jalen Turner beat the living dog. Like, even Bobby
Green. Oh, yes. Like, yes.
Yeah. Even Bobby Green was like, oh, yeah, I'm a fighter, you know, in this sport, you know, I'll die on my shield. He's like, but that put a different view in my mind. Like, oh, my gosh, you can get the wrestle, just let you get murdered here. And I mean, it was very controversial. Like, that dude let him get murdered. Hey,
every time I see the refs let the fight go too long, it makes me rethink being a UFC fan. Do you know that? I'm being serious. Why? Because I don't want to be a part of that.
Really?
Like, no, I'd rather see it stop early. Like last week, there's this ref that's all juiced up. I don't know. He's short.
Yeah. Oh, you talking about
short white guy.
He's got the comb over.
Yeah, and he's just roided out of his mind, right? He stopped two fights way early last week or the week before, whenever I was watching, but I was fine with it.
Yeah.
I don't like to see a dude like who's the UFC commentator? He's the 205 guy. He had his tooth knocked out by Glover. I did not like that fight.
Anthony.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
He told him too, bro. He was murdering when Glover was doing that, and he knocked his tooth out.
And Glover looked up at the ref like, "Yo, dude, time to stop it."
Not only that, he looked back down to Anthony Smith and was like, "Oh, I apologize. I'm sorry." You know, he's like, and Anthony Smith's like, part of the sport, bro. You're good, you know, just still taking punches. Yeah, I mean, I don't want this to come back on me, and I'm not a man to see people die, but right. I like the refs giving every possible chance, you know.
Sometimes you're right. On the flip side, when you see comebacks, you're like, what? Yeah. Good job, ref. But
I'll never know if you've seen that fight with it was a dude named Chet Congo, used to fight in the UFC. Real dark black dude. I mean, huge. I don't remember the guy he was fighting, but the guy was dropping him at look up the craziest comeback ever. Bro, I promise you it'll pop up. This guy was dropping him with every punch, but Chet Congo like hit the ground and he jumped back up and the dude's chasing him down and then he dropped him again, boom, chasing him back down. And then out of nowhere, Chet Congo throws a punch and cleans Buddy's clock. I mean, knocks him out.
Oh, cold. I think I did find it. Let me see. I'm trying to find it on YouTube. Oh, it's only on Facebook.
Yeah, because it's the craziest comeback I've ever seen in my life.
Go ahead.
I'm saying that's just like shows like, oh, it's somebody can come back. You know what I mean? Like, and also like Yoel Romero, one of my favorite fighters, he always makes a fight look like he's getting beat up. And then out of nowhere, he comes back and just goes, you know. So if refs stop it early, they could clearly, you know, stop that and be like, nope. Johnny Walker's another example. Like, Johnny Walker is someone who his style is real weird.
Yeah.
And so if he's getting hit, like, it looks like he's in panic mode or something, but he's come back and win fights when he looked like that, you know? So Bisping, I just like
and Bisping and Anderson Silva. Bisping got knocked out and they let it go, and he ended, that changed his whole career.
That's true. Yeah. You know, so I mean, it's, there is, you are right. There is a place where it's like, yo, this is too far. I actually seen one on a lower promotion. This girl, and it was that, it wasn't even punches. It was a choke. This girl had this other girl in a bulldog choke. And I mean, she had her bent back and like choking her. The girl was completely out. You could tell, like, and the ref like picks up her hand and like, just because, you know, she's out where she's stiff, the ref picks up her hand, and just because it didn't drop, he still lets it. Bro, she choked this girl for like 15 seconds after.
Oh God.
She was already out. I'm like, what are you doing? Now that's killing brain cells. Like, the more, now you're cutting off oxygen to my brain. Now I'm going to be retarded. You know what I mean? Like, that's not okay. You know? So there are some that I'm like, oh, too far, too far.
I had a, this guy, Mark McQueen, on the other day, and he just qualified for ADCC through Europe, and he's a former power lifter, and he was wrenching on a fucking dude's neck, and the dude went to sleep, and the ref came late, and I'm like, oh God,
the guy's
tapping,
yeah,
and he's looking at the ref, and the ref won't stop it, and like, the guy went to sleep.
With submissions, I'd say that's more like, I'm fine with that being stopped early more than anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, with submissions, because not only in choke in situations, you know what I'm saying, where you can lose oxygen to the brain, but you can end people's career. You can tear their kneecaps out of place.
Yes.
Their elbows could be ripped to shreds, you know, like, call that quick. You know what I mean?
And also people need to, I mean, the fight that was crazy, right, was Oliveira and Tony Ferguson. He fucking armbarred Tony Ferguson's arm and fucking broke his elbow. Tony
was like,
tap.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. You'll never meet another person like Tony Ferguson. I'm good, he says. That's okay, ref. I don't care about my elbow. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen, probably in a sport.
Okay, watch this. This isn't so bad, but watch. So the guy in the bottom is Mark McQueen. And so he's tapping, right?
Yeah, he tapped.
And hey, dude, that dude has a fucking 800-pound fucking deadlift.
The dude who was choking him?
Yeah, he's like this. He'll be the strongest dude at ADCC for sure. He said he's like in 2022, he was a world powerlifting champion.
Dude, not only that, the way he's cranking that, bro, he could have broke his jaw and his neck.
That's wild, right?
Yo,
look at him looking around. He's like, Jesus Christ.
That's the ref not doing his job. Why is the ref on that side when the choke was turned? You need to follow where the fighters are going.
Hey, Darren, did you see that interview the other day? I can't remember who said it, but basically saying that the refs in the UFC only make $300 a night.
I didn't see that one, but I saw that the ring girls make more than the refs per year salary.
I mean, that's crazy. I'm not, and that's not a dog on the ring girls. Make your money. You guys are fucking absolutely insane, your bodies. But, and the UFC has the best ring girls by far. Boxing has just these fucking weird looking bitches.
Yeah, they're torqued. I don't know why, but
they look like they got them on meth and shit, and they're made of plastic.
They're probably on cocaine. Not judging any ring girls who are watching this.
Not all of you, just most of you. but how do you only pay?
Maybe that's why they're letting them die. Maybe they're why they're letting fighters die in here. They're like, man, we're just getting
What's the black dude's name with the dreads?
Hold on one second.
How is he not making $1 million a year?
How is he not making $1 million? He's like the face of refs.
Yeah. And he, like, everywhere you go, every weekend he's somewhere. You're like, oh shit, he's in Japan. Oh shit, he's in Thailand. Oh shit, he's in Vegas. Like, pay this fucking guy some money.
Dude, he has to be making more, just because, like, I've seen some of his posts and he looks like he's living a
Oh, Herb Dean. Herb wrote Dean Herb.
Herb Dean, yeah. Super good life. But not only that, like, and I'm not saying this determines whether you're rich or not, but the girl he has, way out of his league. I'm like, what? This is your wife? Crazy.
Let me see. Yeah. He looks like he got a nice car.
You know what I mean? Like, he looks like he's at least six figures. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's it. That, wow. Yeah. Okay. I see her. Yeah.
He's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What? Hey, did he fight? Look at, he got a nice body. I didn't know he was in this good a shape. I thought he was.
Yeah. He used to do fights. He used to do amateur fights. I don't know if he ever went pro, but he, come on, bro. Look at his wife.
Yeah. That dog is stupid though.
Yeah. That, you hate boxers or what?
I hate boxers. And that fucking outfit on, boxers are psycho.
Yeah. He did used to fight though. He used to,
Oh, yeah. He's doing, life's good.
Life's good, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not $300 a night. You know what I mean? You got to be doing a fight every night for that to be $300.
And look, I don't know if that's his Benz, but, I think he said that's not my car.
Where we're going to have the proving grounds. Also, that week, I'll be hosting my referee course. We'll be doing
Smart man, my referee course.
Yeah, he's probably okay. So even if he is only making that, at least he's utilizing his fame to be like, hey, if you want to learn how to get to where I'm at,
yeah, $1,000 for a 2-day workshop, bring it.
$1,000 for a 2-day workshop, bring your friends, bring your family. That's great. What fight are you most excited about for UFC 300?
I'm gonna try to go through these fast. It is. For anyone who's complaining about the UFC 300 card, I want to say officially, you're a moron.
Oh, and I want to add this real quick. Please. This is the craziest thing that I'd ever heard. Yesterday, watching the press conference, did you see what Dana White did with the bonuses?
No, what'd he do?
He raised every bonus to $300,000.
From 50 to 300?
From 50 to $300,000.
Oh my God.
That's insane, dude. And that alone will make the card better because it's going to be a bloodbath. Everyone's going to want that $300,000.
That is fucking nuts.
Yeah. And he just did it off a whim, dude. There was a guy, a reporter in the crowd, who was like, hey, Dana, some people think that you should raise the bonuses for this. You know, what are you thinking? He's like, what do you want me to raise it to? And the reporter actually was going to yell 100,000.
Yeah.
But Sterling in the back on and the press conference.
Aljo?
Like, yeah. He was like, no, 300,000, 300,000, 300,000, like yelled it. And Dana White was like, 300,000, fine, every bonus, let's go. I was like, what? $300,000?
I love Dana. I fucking love the UFC. God, that's, I fucking love
crazy,
it.
Crazy, dude.
Such hype, dude.
Everyone's going to fight that much harder now. Like,
okay, let's the opening shit fight. The opening shit fight, people. The one where like you're Cody still in the, you're Robert. Still getting a Budweiser and fucking doing a line of blow in the bathroom at the venue is Davidson Figueroa and Cody Garbrandt. Figueroa's got to be. I mean, what's his tagline? The warrior, or the killer, or the assassin.
Yeah,
I mean,
something like that. The warrior.
I'm like, dude, that might be. That's an insane fight. Who do you got for that? I think Figueroa fucking ends his career.
I think Figueroa goes crazy just because his pace that he fights at, like those fights with Brandon Moreno and him, that pace was crazy for five rounds. Yeah. For five rounds, that pace was there. Not only once, twice, but three times for five rounds.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
I don't think Garbrandt has a chin. The only thing is Figueroa is going up a weight class.
And I just don't think that Cody Garbrandt has the cardio. Figueroa just has to keep it busy, and he'll break him. But,
yeah, look, someone says Figueroa will smash that glass jaw. Yeah, I hate to say that because I like Cody, but.
But I would love to see. But Cody Garbrandt has power now, too. You know what I'm saying? He can touch him. He can touch him. And I would love to see Cody Garbrandt win that fight, but
me too.
It's not going to happen.
Bobby Green, Jim Miller.
Bobby Green. I don't think the vet has it in him. You know what I mean? Like, the vet is a dog fighter. I get that. You know, if you're going against Clay Guida, I'll pick you. You know what I'm saying? But you're not. You're going against a Bobby Green who can put people to sleep. I mean, easily. You know what I mean? And he's a vicious fighter. So
these guys have over 100 fights between the two of them, pro fights.
And that's insanity.
Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. By the way, people, we're in the early prelim. Darian and I never talk about the early prelim.
Never. We only talk about the top four or five. That's it.
Four former champs in the fucking early prelim. Okay, Jessica Andrade and Marina Rodriguez.
Man, this is a hard choice.
It's going to be, I hate women fighting. This is going to love this fight. This fight's going to be insane.
Yeah, Marina Rodriguez is an absolute dog.
Tough.
Dog.
Weird body, right? Weird body. All torso, no legs.
Weird body. But yeah, she work, you know?
Yeah.
And Jessica Andrade, I mean, you know, in her own right, she has power, you know, and she's fought for the title multiple times. But I got to go Rodriguez because I just feel like, I feel like Jessica Andrade is on like an upset. You know what I mean? So she's just going to pump it all out of there.
Yeah, I think her star is dimming also. Jalen Turner and Moicano. Hey, there's a lot on the line here. Basically, whoever wins this fight is probably going to fight Paddy.
I say Jalen Turner. He's the biggest guy in that weight class. The like by far the most reach. You know what I mean?
Super fun to watch the fight. Super fun.
Super fun.
Like watching a praying mantis fight.
Yeah, super fun. So I'm going to go Jalen Turner, and I say he gets it by knockout second round.
The only reason why I kind of want Moicano to win is I just love his show. I love I loved all the podcast clips of his that are shown.
I never seen it.
Yeah, he's great. He's great on the mic with his foreign accent and like using words wrong. He's
biased just because he has a podcast. That's not fair.
Okay, prelims. Diego Lopez, he's talking about tough. Just a fucking human wrecking ball versus a Sadiq. This is going to be gnarly.
Yusuf. I say Sadiq Yusuf. He's explosive. He can keep the fight at a high pace. And he got power for days. The leg kicks are what's going to get, I think, Lopez. I think he's going to lose death.
Someone, that's going to be a bloody fight. Like, Lopez is going to, win or lose, he's going to be fucking hamburger. His face is going to be hamburger meat.
Period. You know, yeah. And now my favorite one. I want Holly Holm to destroy this girl.
Not me.
What?
I had Kayla on the show. She was great.
Kayla, if you're watching the show, I don't have nothing against you, okay? But for some reason, when I look at this matchup, I just want Holly Holm to do the exact same kick that she did to freaking old concussion head. And send her ass out of here.
And you know, Kayla was training partners. Both Kayla and what's her name? The girl's name who is the great UFC fighter?
I know. Why can't we think of her name? Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yes. Rousey and Kayla, they used to train together. And both Olympic judo. Both went to the Olympics with judo.
That's why I see this fight going the same way. I see this fight, like, don't get me wrong, like, Kayla Harrison, she's strong. She's a powerful. She's a dominant athlete. For one, she has short arms, so she's not going to be able to strike with Holly. Okay? She has zero footwork. She's not going to be able to keep up with Holly. All Holly has to do is keep turning the corner and avoid the takedowns. And then one of those are going to be open for a head kick. I know it is.
Have you seen Kayla Harrison's body since she dropped? Did you see the weigh-in? It is
massive. She's massive.
And the fact that she got down to 130, it's 135, right?
Yeah, the fact that she got down there when she was probably walking at like 158.
Hey, and what I hear, is this true, Darian, that if she lost that much weight, basically insinuate less fluid in the fucking cranium, and so you're more susceptible to a knockout from the dehydration?
I have dropped 35 pounds. Don't say that.
All right.
No, I'm kidding. But I don't know. I don't know. Like, if she did it right, I'd say no. You know what I mean? If she dieted down, which it looks like she's dieted down because she is completely shredded.
Shredded,
dude. She has, like, probably a 10-pack, you know? I would hope that, you know, she just did it the healthy way, and so she won't be susceptible to knockout.
Let me see if I can find her, Kayla. Kayla Harrison. Let me see
if she does get Holly Holm down. It might be a wrap for Holly.
I don't know if this is. Oh yeah, this is set. This is 17 hours ago. Look at this. Look at this photo. I mean, so guys, this is her fighting weight is 155, and she's coming in at 135.
Gosh, she's an animal. Her arms are bigger than mine right now.
I will say, hey, do you think if it goes down, it's just over? Like the second you see it go to the ground, are you like, bye bye, Holly?
I mean, okay, so Holly Holm had her whole training camp with Chris Cyborg.
Okay.
So that's a strong, that's a strong girl. Okay.
Yeah. And also a former training partner of Kayla Harrison's.
See? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully she learned some in and out tricks. I don't say it's going to be over immediately, but I say if she keeps getting taken down, it's going to be a long night for Holly. You know, you can't stay under Kayla Harrison like that just because of one, her brute strength, as we see in her photo. Holly doesn't have near that strength. And
Holly's old. I guess they're both old.
Yeah, how old is Kayla Harrison? Because Holly's 42.
I'm guessing, let me see. Shit. Dude, I'm sorry, dude. I got bad news for you.
No, that's not going to happen. But dang, Kayla Harrison, if you're watching this, that Savon just called you old and you're only 33. You're probably 40 years younger than Savon, and he just called you old.
Holly Holm is going to have a career-ending blow. Okay, Calvin Kattar, Aljamain Sterling. Aldo's going up from 135 to 145. Is that?
Yeah. 145. Aljo, we love you. I picked Calvin Kattar.
God, I hope you're wrong. You don't think Aljo's going to get him on the ground?
Oh, Aljo's definitely going to get him on the ground. I would like to think though, Calvin Kattar understands that he's going to be wrestled in all forms of the term, you know, like, so I would hope to think that all their training camp, because I mean, you're a striker, Calvin Kattar. Don't practice striking, just practice defense takedowns, and you will win the fight. But we'll see what happens.
The thing is here with this one, and correct me if I'm wrong, Darian, Aljamain will come out looking really good in the first round. He's going to be all fucking crazy, weird angles, all sorts of takedowns. And if Calvin can, as the fight goes on, it leans more towards Calvin. True.
Yeah, because what Sean O'Malley showed us is that as long as you have long striking range,
it's going
to be very hard for Aljo to employ a game. He does good at people at 135 that are his weight and his height because he's in striking range with them. TJ Dillashaw, he's in striking range with him. I can do whatever I want. Jan, he's in striking range with him. I can take him down whenever I feel like it. When you have a longer fighter, you have to shoot a further shot, and it's hard. It's hard to do that.
Also, going up a weight class will be fun to see. Huge fan of Aljo. Yuri Prochazka and Rakic. Guys,
I have
these are fucking
animals.
Yeah, this is fucking nuts too. Another former champ, and Rakic could be a champ, probably in Bellator. I mean, just savages, right?
Yeah, Prochazka, I see. You know, reclaiming his name after that Alex Pierre early stoppage. You know, like I feel like he's coming to prove it. And I mean, Prochazka's a good fighter, a great fighter.
Great fighter. But Rakic is that dude who basically fought his whole life. Like you hear his whole backstory, and like he was a soccer player who wasn't allowed on the field because he's just beating everyone up. I mean, the guy's just made to fucking hurt people.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. What were we going to say, Darian?
I was just going to say, we'll see.
Yeah. But once again, this could be a main card too.
Yeah. Period. The whole fight. Yes. Good. Definitely.
They could do a pay-per-view with Holly Holmes and Kayla Harrison and any of these. It's fucking crazy.
Well, I'd say just because Kayla Harrison's like, this is her first fight in the UFC, I'd say not a pay-per-view headline, but they could definitely headline a fight night, you know, in Vegas.
I guess you're right, but I would pay for it. If it was pay-per-view, I'd pay for it.
Okay.
And just so you know, Darian won't be seeing any of these fights because he'll be training for his upcoming fight on May 10th. May 10th or May 9th.
We got UFC 305 and we go in.
Okay. And then the main card, dude, crazy. Bo Nickel and Cody Brundage.
I want to say one thing, and I know that's a lot of controversy over this and people have already said it, but I agree. I don't think that Bo Nickel should have been on the main card over Jiří Prochazka.
Listen to Darian not understanding the economics. Darian's pure fighter, looking out for his fighter friends.
I mean, I understand. Oh, this he has a way more following, but come on, dude. Main card, Bo Nickel. Come on, man. Come on, Bo.
I hear you. It's a valid argument. I'm just excited.
I know. But
here's the thing. You're right. If they would have put him as the main event. Yeah, and hey, dude, you could even say this. How is that fight bigger than the very first fight? I mean, Figueiredo and Garbarant could also be a pay-per-view in my mind.
Know?
I mean, it's fucking crazy. You're right. It's... And I probably would not pay for Bo Nickel versus Cody.
You would not?
No, yeah.
If that was the only fight on the card, you'd be like, nah, it's cool. I'll just look at
I'll see it tomorrow. I'll watch it on YouTube tomorrow. Yep. You know what I mean? Good point. Yeah.
But
Adam Blakesley, you're right, Darian. But the hotter ticket is Bo, bro. I don't know though. Too here's another thing: Jiří probably would bring more. Is going to bring more international eyes.
I would say so. I would say so that he would. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the big fight. That Jiří Prochazka's fight is, like you said, like what? This is astounding. And not only that, we got to go back to. Dana raised the thing to $300,000. They're going to be slaughtering people out there. People are going to try to get the finish any way they can. Like, this Bo Nickel fight, I just don't see it being a hot commodity. But it's a plus and a minus for him. Okay, yeah, you have your fan base, so that's why you put him on the card. If he doesn't show out like people should, he's going to lose fans. You know what I mean? If you don't...
Oh. But if he wins, they're gambling, right? If he wins on this biggest stage, all of a sudden Bo Nickel's star skyrockets.
Yeah, he does. But
and it's already pretty high.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I wish the best for Bo Nickel because I'm a former wrestler, you know what I mean? So good job, wrestlers. Let's go. But
just so you guys know, Dalton Rasta, who's been on the show a bunch of times, fought Cody Brundage as an amateur and beat the fuck out of him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's not looking good for
that good of a fighter to me.
Dalton said he's a wrestler, but he better have his wrestling in line tomorrow.
Oh, so we might see a striking match. I would like to see that from Bo Nickel. That would be cool.
I think he's knocked out his last two opponents, right?
Yeah, but that one guy was like a gimme guy from, you know. That one guy.
Hey, what weight class is Bo?
I think he's 185.
Yeah, all right. Maybe we'll see Darian and Bo someday. Okay, the most underrated.
Maybe we will.
The most underrated fight, ladies and gentlemen, in the entire fucking card.
Only because nobody knows who our man is. You know what I'm saying?
He does not have three losses, people. If you've watched his fights, they are fucking. And he fucking put it to Islam Makhachev when they met. I mean, he put it to him.
Yeah, he's a dog of a fighter, and he has the spirit to follow. Like, he knows that he wants to be at the top. So this is a great match for him. And it's also a great match for Oliveira, because if Oliveira beats this up-and-comer, it shows that he's still in the pool for a title contention. I still need to be in the talks of that. You know what I mean?
Armin's been on the show too, Darian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tight. Well, so
good, right? Little clout.
You're going for Armin then, huh?
Oh my God, he's Armenian too. I'm in the same gene pool. Armenians are inbred as fuck, Darian. That guy's probably like my brother.
He said we're freaking family. Well, I think there's a good chance of him winning, because you know how you seen a lot of Oliveira fights. That first round's real slow for him, and that's how Islam Makhachev got the best of him, because his first round's stupid slow. You know, he doesn't get going immediately. You know, it seems like he has to get dropped in every fight in order to be like, all right, I'm ready.
Yeah, you gotta make his jaw go a little sideways.
Yeah, and that's bad when you're fighting our man, you know what I'm saying?
The winner of that fight for the title?
The winner for that is definitely in title contention. I mean, because they talked about Duke Bronx going back to Islam and fighting for the title. So, I mean, And if he had a dog fight with Islam in the first fight, let's go. Yeah. Why would you not put him back in there? So,
a fight that I do not think should happen, and I'm fucking so bummed that it is happening.
I love that it's happening. I love that it's happening.
God, you're breaking my heart.
This is the best. I would pay pay-per-view for this fight, even if it was $200 for the pay-per-view. Ring him in.
Let me tell you how I look at this fight. Imagine taking a guy and you could hit him in the head as hard as you can with a sledgehammer, and he does that for like 10 years and he never gets knocked out, and that's how he makes his money. That's fucking Max Holloway. And then all of a sudden, towards the end of his career, you change the weight of the sledgehammer from a 10-pound sledgehammer to a 15-pound sledgehammer.
You think?
Dude, Gaethje, this is a fucking, like, we know Max is tough. Why test him any further, but dude? Like,
remember,
why?
You have to remember. He fought Dustin Poirier. Holloway fought Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
The hardest hitter in 155 and ate every one of them, never failed one time.
But they didn't fight at 155, did they?
Yeah, they fought at 155.
They did?
Up to 155 and fought. And, I mean, and stood right in front of them the whole entire time, you know?
God, I really don't like this. Okay. All right.
I see Justin Gaethje getting finished.
Oh, my God. I would be – even though I like Justin, I'd be so – if Max wins this – hey, dude, it's a shame Max never fought Khabib.
Yeah, it is a shame. Because
it was close to happening. You know that, right?
Yeah, that would have been crazy.
Because Max is so hard to take down.
So hard to take down. Not only that, like, he has a better cardio than anybody that Khabib fought. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't have got worn down and broken and been like, oh, now I could have to just lay here. He would have been like, we're going to fight until that bell rings, and that's it. And I only see this just because, I mean, Max Holloway, I feel like he's beaten every up-and-comer that they've given him. You know what I mean? When they fought down here in Kansas City, who that guy that was an up-and-comer that he beat? Remember?
The jiu-jitsu guy he's like from super, L.A.?
Yeah, he's like super – no. Not Brian Ortega, but I don't
know. Oh, Jordan Allen.
Yes.
That was crazy. I was so scared for Max. I was so scared.
And he beat the brakes off of Jordan Allen.
Yeah.
You know?
Jordan Allen looked like he was the future, right?
Yeah.
You know?
And so that's the possibility that Max Holloway has. And I would love to see that right here.
Great point, Darian. Great point. All right. So that's going to be nuts. Then another cool fight. Two great fighters from China. Wei Li and Yan. I always think Wei Li's going to win, but it would be cool if Yan won, just because then it would bring the belt to Sacramento via Alpha Male.
This man, your decisions.
I'm emotional. I'm emotional and loyal.
They either own a podcast, they haven't, they've been on the podcast, or they freaking live where you live.
Yeah, or they're in the same gene pool.
Or they're in the same gene pool. They're your brother, cousin, sister.
Yeah. Who do you got in this?
I got Wei Li. She's just unbeatable, I think, at this point in her career. She's very strong. She trains like a freaking savage. And I've sparred her. And even though she's tiny, she has a bite to every strike she has.
All right. Okay. I'll choose her, too. I think she's going to win. But I want Yan to win. And then finally, I'm going to go first on this one. Alex Pereira and Jamahal Hill. If Jamahal Hill shows up, it is going to be, I think we might, Alex is a bit off more than chew. This is going to be crazy for me to say this. I think Alex has a glass jaw a little bit now.
I think he does too. I think he's very susceptible to getting knocked out.
Yeah.
And also, this is the best body shape I've ever seen Jamahal Hill in. Ever. Normally, on any of the weigh-ins at 205, I'm like, wow, this dude looks like he came straight out of the freaking ghetto, bro, with no freaking muscle tone at all. Who is this guy? Like,
yeah, he looked weird.
But this weigh-in, his arms looked great. His chest looked amazing. He even had like a little 4 or 5 pack going on. I'm like, oh, he's
5 pack and an odd number. You never hear that. It's either 4 or 6. I like that. Darren's going with the 5 pack.
I'm going with the 5 pack. One that's still combined down at the bottom. You know what I mean? But you know, so I feel like he's in the shape to do it, and Jamahal Hill gets knockouts over people that I don't even know how he does it. Thiago Santos, how did you do it, bro? You were split up.
How did he beat Glover Teixeira?
How did he beat Johnny Walker by punching him only in the forehead?
Right.
He only punched him in the forehead and knocked him clean out.
That's a great knockout, isn't it?
A great knockout. Oh my gosh. You know, so he has superpower, but I watched over and over Alex Pereira's highlights, and it looks like every fight that he's knocked somebody out, it looks like he barely touched them. He barely, Prochaska on the same card, he hit him with an uppercut and looked like he barely threw the uppercut, and it sent Prochaska, I mean, crumbled.
They say Alex Pereira is made of mahogany. That's why. That's why they say it sucks to get kicked by him. They said for some reason he's just like made of stone. You can't be, you know what I mean? Like you know, like you see a horse and you're like, damn, if that dude bumps me with his head, I'm toast.
Yeah.
That's what I think Pereira is like. And he looks like a horse. Look at his fucking jawline.
Like, built like that.
Yeah.
Like he's built like that. Like his body, even when you see him on pictures, you're like, man, that would be, running into any part of him would hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's going to be, I feel like, you know, people were controversial about this being a main card fight or the main event. I think
they're stupid.
I think this is great.
Me too.
Jamahal Hill is the champion. Alex Pereira is the reigning champion. Jamahal Hill was the champion. He only got it, took it from him because he got injured. So what?
Playing basketball. That was lame.
Dang. You know, that's what we hood dudes do. We still play basketball even when we have a career ahead of us.
Darren Weeks, you the man.
Thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure to get back on here.
Yeah, love you, dude. And we'll have you on before your fight and talk to you about that weight loss. Cheer you on.
Yeah, hopefully the next time you have me on, I'm anorexic looking, so that means the weight loss is coming off.
All right, dude. Great to see you. Talk to you soon.
Love you, brother. See you.
Peace. Love you too. Bye. Darren Weeks. All right, guys. Sounds like I'm going to breakfast. I was supposed to have Haley Adams from Australia on tonight, and I think I've asked Sousa to reschedule that because Greg's in town just for a day or two, and I want to party. Love you guys. Great show. Thank you to James Townsend. Thank you to Darren Weeks, and I will talk to you guys all soon. A crazy week up ahead. Those of you who aren't into UFC, thanks for hanging with us anyway. See you guys tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.